Like nighttime clouds illuminated by flashes of distant artillery fire, the public discussion reflected dimly the fight inside the Bush administration. Powell, who was not only the Secretary of State, but a retired four-star general who maintained ties to the top brass, launched a final effort to stop the run-up to war. Bob Woodward relates in his book Plan of Attack how Powell sat down with Bush on the evening of August 5th, first over dinner and then in the president's office in his residence. "You are going to be the proud owner of 25 million people," Powell said, according to Woodward. "You will own all their hopes, aspirations, and problems. It's going to suck the oxygen out of everything. This will become the first term." But Condi Rice, who knew Bush better, read the situation differently. Rather than trying to stop the move toward war, she was constructing the bureaucratic machinery to coordinate the execution of the war. On August 14th, according to Woodward, she chaired a principals meeting on a draft of a strategy for Iraq. She also took a major bureaucratic step toward war, taking control of an interagency group then being run by the staff of the Joint Chiefs at the Pentagon, and putting one of her own NSC subordinates, Franklin Miller, in charge. Renamed the Executive Steering Group, and including representatives from the State Department, the CIA, the White House, the Joint Chiefs, and the Pentagon's policy operation, this body was charged with coordinating about 100 government actions leading up to the invasion, such as securing the use of bases in the region, improving them so they could support U.S. military operations, and getting overflight permission from other countries. Vice President Cheney emphatically shut down the nascent debate on August 26th when he asserted, "There is no doubt that Iraq possessed weapons of mass destruction, or WMD." In a speech to the National Convention of the Veterans of Foreign Wars at the Opryland Hotel in Nashville, Cheney flatly called for war, proclaiming that Iraq was a clear and present danger to the United States. After a few preliminary niceties, the vice president struck his theme. "The president and I never for a moment forget our number one responsibility, to protect the American people against further attack and to win the war that began last September 11th. Despite various measures like creating a Department of Homeland Security," he said, "we realize that wars are never won on the defensive. We must take the battle to the enemy." In retrospect, the speech is even more stunning than it appeared to be then, because it has become clear with the passage of time that it constructed a case that was largely false. "Containment may have worked in the Cold War," Cheney said, "but is not possible when dictators obtain weapons of mass destruction and are prepared to share them with terrorists who intend to inflict catastrophic casualties on the United States. It was time to be candid," he said. "The Iraqi regime has, in fact, been very busy enhancing its capabilities in the field of chemical and biological agents, and they continue to pursue the nuclear program they began so many years ago. Many of us are convinced that Saddam Hussein will acquire nuclear weapons fairly soon." Nothing the U.S. government had tried in the previous decade had stopped Saddam, Cheney warned. Not inspections, not the revelations of defectors, not Desert Fox. Simply stated, "There is no doubt that Saddam Hussein now has weapons of mass destruction," he said, as flatly as possible. "There is no doubt that he is amassing them to use against our friends, against our allies, and against us." Not only that, but the situation was getting worse. "Time is not on our side," Cheney added. "The risks of inaction are far greater than the risks of action."